It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Mix makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Michael Eisen.
John Schmelk, Michael Eisen, Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Michael, welcome. We're back in the offseason here. Free agency's been going on. We have the draft as well. I want to get going on some of the news that broke this week. First, the Giants get awarded a fourth-round draft pick in terms of a compensatory selection based on who they lost in free agency last year and who they brought in.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was kind of debating and had this discussion with yesterday. Would you rather have one fourth-round pick or three seventh-round picks, which is what some other teams got? I guess it obviously it depends on on who you wind up getting with the pick, but sometimes it's better to have the multiple picks.
Yeah, we do a better job with the seventh-round picks around here a lot of the times.
Our history is we usually found Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yeah, that too.
So, but it's great to have an extra selection. Right now we have eight. I think it's especially important or beneficial this year to get an extra pick because we are picking last in every round, having won the Super Bowl. So we're picking 32nd in every round, except for the second when we're picking 31st because the Saints aren't picking due to the bounty scandal. Since we're picking that low, I think it's great that we do have an extra pick.
I want to stay in the draft for a little while before we move on here, Mike. And people always like to talk about, since the format changed, I guess it was just last year, that last pick on the first night is the pick that everyone wants to have because teams will be trying to trade up. You got a whole day to figure it out. And, you know, the first pick in the second round is also a pick that a lot of people like to have too. But does it make it more likely, you think, that Jerry Reese might consider dealing that pick considering where the Giants are?
I think it is more likely, not because of it being the last pick of that night. I just think at 32nd, it's harder to pinpoint one or two players that you really want or that you think can be there. And I think that he's going to have a lot more options at 32, obviously, and it's going to be a best player available type thing. And if he thinks the player or his group of players, 32, he thinks will be there at 36, 37, he'd be maybe inclined to trade and get an extra pick. So I do think the fact that we are at 32 makes it more likely that he would deal the pick.
The other piece of news, and this is the more recent one that broke this week, is they announced the Giants will be opening up the NFL season next year, strangely on a Wednesday night because of the Democratic National Convention, hosting the division rival Dallas Cowboys. Now, a lot of people were surprised that it wasn't the Packers, it was a divisional game. But considering the Giants' history in opening this season against division opponents, I guess that shouldn't be that much of a surprise.
Well, that and the ratings for Giants-Cowboys games are traditionally very high. I guess the season-ending game that decided the NFC's championship on New Year's night was viewed by 27 million fans, which was the highest rated Sunday night game in history. So, the Giants and Giants Cowboys games just bring in lots of viewers, and it's a way for the league to get off to a blockbuster start. I am a little surprised because both Giants Cowboys games were on NBC last year, and I thought Fox would really want a Giants Cowboys game.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what is going to happen with our return trip to Dallas, because this is now three Giants-Cowboys games in a row that'll be on NBC. And at the same time, the last six Giants games in Dallas have been on primetime. We never play down there in the afternoon.
All we ever do is go down there on a Sunday night, fly back at 4 o'clock in the morning, and that's how we know, because we're always getting back at 4:30 in the morning
Sunday
after that game.
The last six, I believe it's six trips to Dallas have been Sunday or Monday night, so it'll be interesting to see what happens whether it's original. My guess is it'll be a late season game, originally scheduled for the afternoon, which with the possibility of it being flexed to a night game depending on what happens.
You have to imagine, though, that Fox is going to want that game because, like you said, they didn't get either game last year. And, you know, that it's such a ratings bonanza. That's why NBC wanted it for the first game of the first week of the season. They broke all sorts of records in the Giants-Cowboys game on January 1st last year.
Yep.
So, I mean, and that's great for us. I would love to not have to go to Dallas on a Sunday night and get back at 3 in the morning. Well, honestly, they'll probably just make us go to San Francisco instead, which would be even worse.
Yeah. you know, the other possibility or one of the possibilities for the opening game was Green Bay, and maybe Fox fought for that. I don't know. You know, who knows what went on behind the scenes. But as of now, I mean, and again, we don't know what's going to happen when the other 15 games are announced, how many games are going to be on NBC or ESPN.
201-939-4513. Let's go out to the phone line and say hello to Sam all the way out in California. It's early out there, Sam. What's going on? Sean, are you there? Sean, I'm sorry, Sean.
It's all good. It's a little dim outside of just calling to hate on the Cowboys. What else is a Giants fan out here to do, right?
All right.
I'm excited that we're opening our opening games against them. Glad we're hosting them in New York, too. You know, so it's good to just be down on some Cowboys. All my friends are Cowboy fans, so just stoked about it. Last year we beat them twice and won the Super Bowl. All this season looks like is good. Good vibes right now. Good vibes. I wonder how what I'm excited to see is how Martellus Bennett plays. Yeah, that guy does. He's a little bit iffy on the Cowboys. He's all right tight end. I think he'll be a good addition to our receiving set, though.
Well, I don't think he was iffy on the Cowboys. He was playing behind Jason Witten, so he just didn't have that much of an opportunity to show what he can do.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very good point. He didn't have enough play time. Never really gets to show what he can do. He's a big dude, too, so he's hard to get down to the ground just like any other tight end. I wonder why they didn't just throw him out there in a double tight end set like the New England Patriots do, but, hey, those are the Cowboys.
All right, Sean.
That's what happens when you go to the Cowboys. I mean, look at Bill Parcells. Wins two Super Bowls with the Giants, goes to the Cowboys, doesn't ever even get to the Super Bowl.
All right, Sean, we appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. 201-939-4513. And I guess NBC is going to open up that game and just call it the Martellus Bennett Bowl, right? I mean,
yeah, I'm sure that'll be the big the entire pregame will be devoted to him switching teams.
And, you mentioned that, he had to play behind Jason Witten. The Cowboys did run a lot of two tight end sets down there with Martellus Bennett and Jason Witten. And there is a maturity factor and a question that people have had about Martellus Bennett, all his Marty B TV stuff. And there are questions his ability to stay healthy. He's had a lot of ankle issues, a lot of high ankle sprains. He's had a couple of rib problems over the course of his year with the Cowboys, some concentration drops. So the physical talent is certainly there. And like you mentioned last week, Mike, whenever we get the scouting report from the pro personnel guys upstairs, Dave Gettleman and his group, they rave about what a great blocker he is, what a good athlete he is. But at some point, that has to turn into production, and hopefully with the bigger opportunity here, that can happen.
It's time for him to do it. He got a one-year contract, so he's sort of on a make-good deal here. And, we've seen so many players come through here who had physical skills. You talk about their potential all the time, and there comes a point where potential has to turn into production, or potential turns into see you goodbye. You didn't make it. So I think this is a huge, huge year for Martellus Bennett, and I really think he can be a very good player here. Certainly he's going to be asked to block a lot, and he insists he's a good blocker and he loves to block, and he'll also be called on to catch a lot of passes because Ballard and Beckham will not be ready at the start of the season. So I think a lot of focus on Martellus Bennett early in the season.
Yeah, no question about it. One other thing, Mike, that's going on down at the ownership meetings in Florida, potential rule changes, which I want to talk to you a little bit about. I know both of us get into this a lot in terms of the rules. The one rule that I find most interesting that I think the Buffalo Bills proposed, if I recall, was having the replay decisions made by an official in the booth rather than the officials on the field. And I think we might have talked about this last year a little bit. I frankly like that idea. Because I feel like the official in the booth it will be more willing to say, all right, look, these guys made a mistake. Well, maybe the guys in the field might be a little stubborn about it.
I have to disagree with you, John.
Why's that?
I just think you're taking the game in some sense away from the officials on the field. It's their game. They're the ones calling the game. And then when there's a play that needs to be reviewed, it's suddenly out of their hands. It's not their game anymore. And I don't think the officials are going to like that. And I don't think it's fair to the officials. I don't think it's fair to the referee. Every crew calls things differently. Every game is called a little differently. And every crew and referee puts his own stamp on a game. And I don't think that they're going to like having that taken away from them. And I don't think it should be taken away from them. I think the referee... it's his game to call. It's the crew's game to call, and I think the crew should be making the calls.
All right, Mike, we got some questions coming in on Twitter. We're going to go to David Ryan. He wants to know who will be the second-year breakout player for the Giants this year, coming off, of course, Victor Cruz being the big second-year guy that came out and had a monster year in 2011.
I would say Prince Amukamara without question.
Well, that's the easy one. Give me one that's not Prince Amukamara.
Well, let's say Jarrell Jernigan.
Okay.
I think without Mario here, there's going to be a lot of competition for playing time behind Nix and Cruz. And I think Jernigan, just as we talked about, it's a big year for Martellus Bennett. Even though it's only the second year for Jernigan, I think it's going to be a big year for him too. You know, is he going to be a producer? Is he going to be a contributor? Is he going to be a good receiver? Is he going to be a return guy? Or is he going to be Sonoris Moss and hang around for a few years and never do anything? And I think this year, frankly, this year he's got to start doing something.
Yeah, because last year he was really invisible. They tried to make a return man in the preseason. He couldn't catch the ball, which obviously
that
will get
improved.
You in Coach Coughlin's doghouse very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And that did improve as the season went along, at least on kickoffs. He didn't do many punts once he got into the regular season.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, yeah, that'll be an important thing for Jarrell Jernigan to get back on the field. Another guy is Marvin Austin, the Giants' second-round pick last year. He hasn't really seen a football field. It will be for 3 years
yeah.
when the Giants play in August. And I think Jerry Reese made reference to it on a SiriusXM interview that there's some concern as to, you know, how much he's going to be able to give the team and how much he's going to be able to come back. And logically, it just makes sense. This guy hasn't played football in forever.
Yeah, he's missed two full seasons. I don't know how you can predict at all. What kind of player he's going to be, or how he's going to be able, how much he'll be able to help, how much he'll be able to stay on the field. Anything you get out of Marvin Austin to me is a bonus.
And I want to get back to that third receiver thing for a second, Mike. Who do you think the Giants are looking for to fill that third wide receiver spot? Not necessarily a player, but a player type. Are they looking for more of a guy that can make a big play and stretch the field, a la Mario Manningham, or do you think Kevin Gilbride would prefer more somebody in that Steve Smith type of vein where you're going to, you know, possession receiver, short intermediate routes, catch those third down passes, play inside? Or do they like Victor Cruz inside and the third guy will play on the perimeter? What kind of player do you think they want to fill that role?
I always think it's more of a big play guy. You know, when I look at the Giants, Victor Cruz last year notwithstanding, he did have, I guess it was 5 65-yard touchdowns touchdowns that were 65 yards or longer. You know, to me, so often the Giants offense lacks a big play component. And I think that's always something you're looking for. I think it makes a huge difference in the way defenses can play you, the way they can stretch the field. To me, you know, Steve Smith was a special guy, but, you know, you got tight ends who can be possession receivers. I think you need a home run hitter.
Interesting, because you already have two big play guys in Cruz and Nix. Now, from talking to the coaches, Kevin Gilbride, do you get the feeling that in those three wide receiver sets, do they like Victor Cruz more in the slot, or do they like Victor Cruz more in the perimeter? Because he's made a lot of big plays outside, but if you look at that championship game against the 49ers, especially in that first half, Carlos Rogers just couldn't cover him in the slot.
No.
And Carlos Rogers was a Pro Bowl caliber corner. You know, the scouts raved to us about how good he was playing. And Victor Cruz tore him up. And if you watch that, I believe they had Carlos Rogers mic'd up in that game, NFL Films. I'm not sure if you saw it. In one of their sound effects shows during the week, he basically was on the sideline talking to one of his teammates saying, they have Victor Cruz running an option route out of the slot every play. Based on where I'm playing, he can either go outside or inside. Him and Eli Manning are on the same page. It's literally impossible to cover.
Yeah.
And where do you think they like Cruz more, inside or outside?
I would say inside. He's just, to me, he's like a prototypical slot receiver. He's so effective in there, and And that is such a big part of Kevin Gilbride's offense. You know, we saw it that year when Steve Smith caught 107 passes. And you know, the great thing about Cruz is you can move him outside, but I think ideally you'd leave him inside. He's just so good in there.
He is, isn't he? And it's so hard to cover. And, when's the last time, Mike, have the Giants ever in your lifetime or time covering the team
Same thing.
Two wide receivers the caliber of Knicks and Cruz at the same time?
I don't think so, no. I mean, this was, you know, last season was obviously the first time they ever had two 1,000-yard receivers. You know, Burris and Toomer were pretty good, but they didn't have 1,000-yard seasons together. You know, it's a different league now. It's much more of a passing league. I mean, you had a quarterback who had the sixth highest passing yardage total in history. That had a lot to do with it. From a pure talent standpoint, Cruz, Knicks, Burris, Toomer, I mean, pretty close.
I'm scrolling through a couple of your Eisen's mailbag questions here, Mike. One is on Brandon Jacobs. People want to know what you think the chances of him making a return to the Giants. And one of the questions coming in, I think we've gotten this before, but I'll let you address it again. It's been a while. Any chance of him shifting over to a H-back tight end slash role? We have heard that before.
Yeah, no, I don't really see that happening. Brandon Jacobs is a power running back. That's what he does. I don't see him being an H-back or a tight end. And I don't think he sees him being an H-back or a tight end. You know, as far as the potential for him to return, the day his contract was terminated, I asked that very question. I asked him, I said, if nothing works out elsewhere, would you be open to coming back here? And he very quickly answered no.
Really?
So, yes.
Wow.
So, now, that was the day that he went in and asked for his release. And obviously there were some raw emotions that day.
Maybe hard feelings.
Yes. And, maybe he thought that he would be a popular guy in the open market. Perhaps if we get close to training camp and there's been little or no interest in him and there's still an opening in the Giants' backfield, maybe. But his knee-jerk response to that question was no.
I want to stick to the running backs for a second here. Now, the Giants don't only need a backup to Ahmad Bradshaw. They need a complement to Ahmad Bradshaw. With his injury history, you can't run him much more than 15 times a game and expect him to last an entire season. That's just really been how he's been so far in his career. Do you think the Giants are comfortable right now with Darrell Scott, with DJ Ware, as the potential complements within the battle it out in training camp to be that guy with Bradshaw? Or would you expect either through the draft or perhaps later on in free agency the Giants bringing in another running back to compete in that mix?
Well, if I can mimic what Coach Coughlin likes to say, I don't like the word comfortable, John. No, I don't think – I would be shocked if they did not bring somebody in. I don't think they're, quote-unquote, comfortable with Darrell Scott. I think he has potential, but I think they need more. And, you know, when you talk about a compliment to Bradshaw, what kind of compliment are you looking for? Are you looking for a bigger, heavier, move-the-pile guy like Jacobs or more of a shifty third-down guy? Bradshaw is a smallish guy, but he runs tough inside. You have to, you know, which kind of compliment are you looking for? That may depend on who's available and what they can get. I do think they'll give Bradshaw and DJ Ware and Andre Brown. Andre Brown's a good running back.
I forgot about him. That's right.
You know, his problem, from what I've been told by a few people, is pass protection. They weren't comfortable putting him out there for blitz pickups and on third down.
Got to protect Eli Manning.
Now, if he improves in that area, I think Andre Brown's a contender too. So you have three guys on the roster. But again, my guess is they'll either draft somebody or sign a veteran. A
couple of the questions coming in via Twitter here. Logan Downey makes the point that the Cowboys are probably going to be pretty jacked up for that first game against the Giants, considering, and we were having this discussion in the studio yesterday, the Giants really used the Cowboys as a virtual trampoline to kind of start that run. And you got to imagine, you know, Tony Romo and company can't be too pleased about that.
Well, not only that, I mean, they came in here the last night of the season, winner-take-all game, and got hammered. They were never in the game. It was 21-0 at halftime.
No, it was 21-14 the third quarter.
Well, it was 21-0 at halftime.
Right.
They never led in the game. They lost by 17 points. They had to stand there while the Giants Stadium crowd was celebrating and the scoreboard was flashing NFC East champion. And that's going to be certainly a vivid memory, considering it was the last game they would have played when they take the field. And, you know, also an interesting sidelight. I don't think this will have anything to do with the players on the field, but, you know, this little mini feud going on with John Mara saying that the Cowboys and Redskins deserve to be punished over the salary cap tactics they used and the fact that they lost salary cap space. And Stephen Jones said, well, we're going to settle it on the field. And so, you know, there's some back and forth. Obviously, the two organizations don't like each other. The two teams don't like each other. So, yeah, the Cowboys, I think, are certainly going to be jacked up. And I think, you know, this will be the ninth consecutive year the Super Bowl champion has opened in prime time. The home team has won the first eight. So I think the Cowboys are, you know, we'll be told that several times before the game is played.
I want to touch on that Redskin-Cowboy thing with the salary cap really quick here, Mike, because I remember back to that uncapped year, and it was, I thought it was strange at the time when the NFL basically said, look, there's not going to be any rules here. Teams can put any money into the cap that they want, but we strongly recommend that teams don't take advantage of this opportunity and dump too much money into that uncapped year. And it was kind of like, you can do it, but, you know,
but don't
you,
do it.
But you might be in trouble if you do. It was a weird situation the way the NFL handled it, and I think that's why you're seeing some measure of confusion and annoyance by Dallas and Washington today.
Yeah, I frankly don't even understand the whole thing.
It's strange, right?
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that those are the two teams singled out. But, you know, the owners voted 29-0 yesterday to uphold those sanctions. So, obviously, they understand what's going on, and they agree with it.
And it was actually two other teams, too, and I think the Saints were one. I don't remember the other. And they had done the same type of things, and they didn't have any cap room taken away from them, but the extra cap room
they don't get.
Oakland. That was taken from Dallas and Washington. It was Oakland, I think,
yeah,
New Orleans,
Oakland.
Right?
Oakland, yeah. I know Oakland.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe that's why it was 29-0, because those are the three teams that probably couldn't vote, because they were the three that got sanctioned. Oakland, Dallas, and Washington. So that would actually make sense. A couple other questions. Our good friend Marcus Erickson. Now, he says Deion Grant is closing on a retirement. We don't know whether or not that's true or not. But, Mike, what do you think the plan is for the Giants' third safety back there? Are we going to see Tyler Sash, or are we going to see somebody else come in here?
Oh, I think we'll see somebody else come in here. You know, nothing against Sash. I'm sure he'll get to compete for the job. Signed Chris Hinton from, you know, former Redskin. He's a good player.
Right.
But, yeah, I think the Giants are going to bring in a safety or two. You know, I do expect Deion Grant would retire. I mean, he's had a great career.
Go out on top.
And, I think this safety position is one that's going to have to be addressed before training camp.
This question is from Logan Downing. He wants to know, what is the time frame for Jake Ballard to be back in action for the Giants, Mike?
You know, I talked to Jake last week. He's still on crutches. So, realistically, he's not going to be ready for the start of training camp. That's the worst thing about getting hurt in the Super Bowl is you're not going to be ready for the start of the year. Really, as far as a specific timetable, it's hard to say. He'll begin the year on PUP. Hopefully, you know, mid-season or so, he'll be ready to practice. You know, my guess is if Jake can get in for the last one-third to half game, you know, half of the season, we'll be very fortunate.
And Beckham, same type of deal?
Beckham, same deal. You know, Beckham was hurt an hour earlier, so it's not going to make much difference.
Now, one guy I'm surprised is still out there, and I received a couple questions about him as well, Jonathan Goff. The Giants brought back Terrell Thomas very quickly. Both guys suffered similar injuries around the same time last year. Jonathan Goff was having a great training camp. He was going to be the Giants' starting middle linebacker. Is he still potentially into plans? Are they just waiting? What do you think is going on with Jonathan Goff right now?
I think, from what I understand, he's potentially in the plans. But, I think Terrell Thomas, when he was hurt, he was regarded as a rising star, one of the better players in the league
in
his position.
Oh, Pro Bowler, no question.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Tuck said he was going to be a Pro Bowler. Jonathan Goff, while well-regarded around here, was not thought of in that same vein. Terrell Thomas signed a contract that's basically let's see what you can do type thing. He can make a lot of money, but he's got to show that he can stay on the field and produce. Perhaps Jonathan Goff is, I don't know, perhaps Jonathan Goff is balking at that kind of deal. Maybe the Giants are not offering the money he wants. I don't know. I don't honestly know what's going on there, but clearly they've been unable to come to an agreement. And Jonathan Goff, from what I've heard, has visited other teams.
Do you think the Giants' starting middle linebacker in 2012 is on the roster right now?
I do not. No.
I happen to agree with you. Now, somebody threw this out to me the other day, and I thought it was interesting. Michael Bowie's a guy that had the communicators headset last year. He was the team's virtual middle linebacker, you know, Mike linebacker, in nickel situations. He was basically the leader of that defense. Is that a consideration to try to convert him into a middle linebacker in your base?
I don't think it's impossible. I think a lot of that is going to depend on, you know, does Jaquan Williams continue to make strides? Is Paysinger going to be able to play in there?
Does Kiwanuka stay at linebacker?
Kiwanuka stay at linebacker. Say that three times fast.
Yeah.
You know, I really think I think Kiwanuka staying a linebacker. I mean, if Tuck and Osi and JPP are all here,
there's
they're
no going
to be where else are you going to play them?
Right.
If one of those young guys can show that they can play the weak side, and Jaquan Williams certainly gave indications that he can, I do not think it's impossible that Michael Bowley can move inside.
Let's close out the show on the phones. 201-939-4513. Anthony is in Williamstown, New Jersey. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good morning.
Doing great. How are you?
Good. I just had a few questions on about OC Umanura, if you guys had any updates on, you know, if he's getting close to being re-signed, or, you know, if there's been any update on him.
You know, OC doesn't have to be re-signed. OC has a contract for 2012.
He might not be thrilled with it, but he is under contract.
Yeah, he is under contract. Nobody has to do anything.
Okay.
So, now, would OC might like to make more money? Yeah. So would you, so would I, so would John. But
I am considering holding out, Mike.
Yeah,
I'm just letting
you know. The fact that the Giants have not offered me more money, you know, I'm still coming to work every day. And that's really OC's call. He's indicated he's not going to be a vocal as he was last year regarding his unhappiness about his contract. Is it possible that they'll do something to upgrade his contract? It's possible, but there's not a whole lot of cap room there, and there's still a lot to do. So, really, there's really nothing going on right now. He's under contract for 2012.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks a lot,
Thank
guys.
You.
I appreciate it.
Anthony, no problem. Appreciate the call. And there was a lot of noise about that towards the end of the season, whether or not there'd be some type of extension, restructuring, renegotiation, whatever you want to call it. But all quiet on that front so far. I guess the Giants want to see what happens in the draft and the rest of free agency before they probably address something like that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You get these huge, like Mario Williams and some of these guys. And, you know, relative to what these other guys are making, I guess OC's, you know, underpaid. But, you know, the Giants also have to think, you know, I was talking to Justin Tuck a couple weeks ago. He's coming up soon. Eventually, if JPP is getting 16 sacks a year.
How about Akeem Nicks? How about Victor Cruz? You know, all these guys.
You got a lot of things to think about. And, you know, on the other hand, OC's going into his 10th season.
Kenny Phillips to another guy.
Yep. So a lot of issues to juggle for the Giants up in the front office.
Yeah, always very tough with the salary cap. Mike, we appreciate the time as always.
Okay,
thank you very much. Mike will be
you.
With us every Wednesday over the course of the year on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, which comes your way every day from here through the regular season starting at 10 a.m. We thank Mike Eisen. Tomorrow I'm trying to get some type of draft guru expert on to try to talk a little draft tomorrow. And no, his name is not Dave Melroy. And we'll see if we can get him on the phone tomorrow to talk some NFL draft. And exactly what's going on with that. Talk about the Giants' needs, what they think they're going to do. And we'll do some around-the-league stuff as well, which is always fun, as well as all these teams get ready to go with the NFL draft coming up. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us today on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We come your way every morning at 10 o'clock on Giants.com. Make sure you stay tuned to Giants.com the rest of the week. We'll have a video version of Eisen's Mailbag on tomorrow. Papa's Perspective will come your way later on today. And, of course, on Friday, we have our off-season report. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time right here on Giants.com.